Welcome to Love, Dating and Chaos with Felicity Rican. Hello and welcome, and thank you for listening to Love, Dating and Chaos with me, Felicity Rican. So this week I thought to myself, you know, I'm talking about the dating aspect and how messy it is, and the love aspect and how messy it is. But really, there's also a silver lining, and that, of course, is marriage. And somebody I know who I look up to and who's done really good at this marriage thing is Khaira D'Souza. And I want to figure out how. How does she do it? It's been many years. They're still very much in love. They've got a kid. And I want to know how, because, you know, sometimes you've got to learn from the people who are in the trenches. Not that marriage is a trench. Anyway, moving on. Khaira, I have discovered that I've started growing a beard. I don't know about you. How does that... Have you started growing a beard?
Tweezers everywhere.
Yeah, but do you have tweezers in your handbag?
I've got tweezers everywhere.
Do you have tweezers here with you?
I've got a tweezer in my handbag, in my car, and I only buy pink tweezers because I live with two men who don't put stuff back where they got it. So they take my tweezers for their whatever use of hair or whatever.
What are men tweezing?
And then they don't give the tweezers back.
Okay.
So now I buy bright pink tweezers and it works. Now they don't take my tweezers anymore.
That's genius.
I know.
Do you think that is a trick to marriage, is to come up with tricks?
Mm.
Tricks and solutions that only you know are tricks and solutions, and they don't realize that they're being manipulated.
That works like a charm.
Oh, really?
And then you tell yourself, look at me. And then one day he lets slip that he also has a trick that you didn't know.
So what trick does Tony use on you? Does he really have a trick that he uses on you and you don't know?
So Tony, I hide things that I want them in special places so that I know where they are.
Okay.
Because otherwise, you know, he looks for it everywhere and then I give my stuff to him, like, you know, the torch or the tweezers or whatever. And then he uses it and he doesn't bring it back.
Right.
And it drives me mad. So now I've realized I can't change him. So I just hide it. And then he can't find it. And
but then
he asks me, where's the tweezers? And then sometimes I can't remember.
Yeah, I was going to say. Because
and I honestly say, I don't know, because I really don't know. But yeah, so he also has some tricks. So he bought a vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
In Australia when we visited his family years ago. And it's a very cool vacuum cleaner.
Yes.
And he brought it home. And it was at home, and I forgot that we had the vacuum cleaner. And then one day, I can't remember what it was, and he said, no, the vacuum cleaner will work because I have another one. You know, one of those that you just pull everywhere on the pipe.
Yes.
It just goes everywhere and it survives everything. But that vacuum cleaner didn't have enough power. So he goes, no, use my vacuum cleaner. And he was hiding the vacuum cleaner.
The one from Australia, the nice one.
For a long time before I remember. And I said to him, why didn't I know? And he said, no, because you're going to break it or it's going to get broken. And this thing's really, it really works and it's expensive. And out comes the beautiful, powerful, wet, dry, can remove everything from everywhere vacuum cleaner that I didn't know we had in our house. So now when he uses it, he also puts it somewhere.
Oh, well, you can't find it. So it's basically his vacuum cleaner.
It's somewhere in the house.
Okay.
It's somewhere there.
But it's his. It's not yours.
Yeah. So.
And how do you feel about this? Because, I mean, you've been married for 22 years.
Ugh, you know what? You win some, you lose some.
I love this very chilled attitude. Maybe that was, so I was married once upon a time.
When were you married?
Like, I misremember dates and things. I don't remember dates.
But do you not know when you were married?
Literally, I have no idea.
How long were you married for?
I think about 5 years.
When did you get divorced? Let's work back. Because I'm trying to establish in which era you got married. Was it the 2000s?
Okay, so my oldest is 22.
Okay.
So I got married when my oldest was, she was still in my belly. Because obviously as a good Catholic girl, I couldn't have her and not be married.
Yes.
It's amazing how with age comes wisdom. So I was 7.5 months pregnant when I got married. Don't look at me like that when I got married. So then when did I get married?
So you got 21 maths. Years ago, you got married. So
yes.
You got married in like 2003.
So 2002, I got married. And then I got divorced
let's say 5 years later. No, it wasn't even 5 years later because we were together for 5 years and then we were separated because neither of us could be bothered to go find a lawyer for about a year or 2 years after we were separated. And then eventually I was like, we're going to have to actually just get divorced. It was so amicable though. You know that we used the same lawyer?
No.
I swear. So I found us a lawyer and we walked in together and she was like, hello. And we're like, yes, we want to get divorced. And she was like, right, so I'll be representing who? And I went, no, both of us. And she went, what do you mean? I said, well, you're going to be the lawyer for both of us. We don't need another lawyer. There's no contest here. And she was like, this is the most awkward thing I have ever been in my life. We just use the same lawyer. It was super amicable. I don't know if I understand the concept of marriage because...
Yeah. Well, you clearly don't understand the concept of divorce.
No, we eventually got divorced. We did eventually get divorced. Like, when does the fun start?
Well, you get married at 7.5 months pregnant. It's just uphill from there. Then by the time your honeymoon was over, the baby was there.
That's right.
And that's tough times.
Yeah.
That's really tough times. A newborn baby tests a marriage. That I can tell you.
Yeah.
So, yes. So, I think... For me, the thing with marriage is nothing starts and ends.
What do you mean?
Fun comes and goes. Hard times come and go. Love comes and goes.
No.
You don't have love. We've been married for 22 years.
Yes.
I say to my husband every day, I love you. He says it to me in the mornings. I love you, drive safe when I come to work. So that's how I leave 4 o'clock in the morning. I love you, drive safe.
Aww.
But it doesn't mean I feel that love every minute of every day. It's impossible. It's not human. You can't. It doesn't work like that. There's life. Life comes with hard times and with stress and with problems and with children that overrule love. Whether you want it or not and whether you knew it was happening or not and whether you planned for it or not, that's life.
So then what carries you through? What makes you stay?
The basic foundation, the basic understanding, the basic feeling of contentment, the basic feeling of this is me, this is where I am, this is where I belong, this is where we will see this through, this is where we will survive it, this is where we will celebrate, this is where we will love, this is where we will cry.
It sounds beautiful, but then it also makes me feel like, is that not just familiarity? Are you not just staying because you're familiar with this person rather than...
I get you. And for creatures of habit, like Tony and I both are, I have to admit, obviously, I think marriage will come easier for people like us.
Okay.
I am a creature of habit.
Okay.
I like to know what I've got in my life.
Right.
I would like to know what I have that's wrong in my life that I can work with and from and at, but that stays there. And he's the same person. Okay. He's also like that.
Yeah.
So in that kind of a sense, I think it's easier for us. If you are someone who doesn't like familiarity and habit and just knowing every day what is there, and if you are that kind of adventurous who wants to go out in the world, it is going to be a lot more difficult for you.
Do you think that's my problem? Do you think it's because I don't like... routine. I hate routine in a weird way. Like, I love routine, but I hate routine.
But there's a difference between routine and familiarity.
Okay.
I think there's a difference. Marriage cannot be routine. Then there's a problem.
Right.
It can't be.
Okay, so what's the difference between routine and familiarity?
I think we don't have a routine like, you know, we do this every day and we do that every day and we have to do all of this together. And on a Saturday we do this and on a Sunday we do this. And we don't, not that kind of a routine.
Right.
Like, he's got his friends. I am married to a man named Tony in our marriage. He's married to a woman named Gerda in the marriage. I have my own life.
Got you.
I have my own identity. I have my own job, my own things, and so does he.
Got
he
you.
Does not understand how I can miss hours of a day reading a book. My husband cannot. He doesn't understand that. For me, there are only so many times that you can watch a Star Wars movie or Transformers or flippin' fucking man that comes out of the sky and blows things up. And
oh, like
Avengers.
A John Wick.
John Wick.
I love John Wick.
Rules our life, and I have not watched one.
How have you never watched John Wick?
I haven't.
They're incredible. Keanu Reeves speaks very little and literally kills people with like a book.
But didn't he kill people because they killed his dog or his... No, his car. They crashed his car. What was it?
His dog. It's mainly his dog, and they stole his car. Imagine someone to Coco. Would you not go to war for Coco?
How many movies?
Four.
After
but that's
a war
not
for,
the point.
No. So, anyway, point being, there are things that I give him. Take it. Go with your friends. Go for a weekend away. Go do your hunting. Go do your stuff. Go. This is my stuff. This is what I do. This is what I love. With those kind of things, leave me with my movie with subtitles.
Got you.
Let me cry and read the subtitles at the same time. I love it. He doesn't understand it. These are my friends. This is what we're going to do. So in that sense, there mustn't be a routine of these are our friends. This is what we do together. The familiarity is more kind of he's got me. I've got him and he's got me.
You, yeah.
That kind of a thing.
So how long did you guys know each other before you got married?
Oh, for very long. And while I knew his brother was my best friend.
Okay.
When we studied.
Okay.
So I was a lot at their house. They lived in Pretoria. I was in hostel. And so over weekends, we did a lot of things.
Yeah.
And then when I would go visit his brother, we would go out together. Tony was always there. And he always had a different girlfriend. And there was always a fight with the girl. But I'm now talking about 5 years of this. Where I knew Tony and it was always a different girlfriend. And then we would go out. And then this was this fight and this fight. And then I would go, oh, Miguel, your brother is such a chauvinistic man. Oh, can't imagine. That was me for 5 years. Yes. And I don't know how, well, he knows exactly the moment it changed for him. He's very proud of it. For me, I just got to know him very well. And we went out to his cousin's birthday party 1 year. And he was just, now he doesn't have a girlfriend.
Okay.
Now he's been trying his luck with me. And I'm like, no. And we went out to the birthday party and we were all together. And he was trying his luck and trying his luck. So I went to the bar to go get myself a drink. And he's like, no. All it will take is one kiss, he says to me. You know, he had all those charming sentences. All it will take is one kiss. I'm like, I tried on someone else. And the bartender said, look, if you give him a kiss, because I'm not tired of this, I will give both of you a free shot. And I was
And you were a student.
I was a poor student.
Thank you.
Give me a free shot. Yeah. And then he was right.
It just took the one kiss. No, stop
it. I know, it's very cliched and horrible, but it's true.
Okay, I have to ask you this, though. Weren't you then concerned, and I say this because you'd seen him being with all these different women. Did you not think to yourself, oh, I'm just number 400 in the queue. He's probably going to move on to someone else.
So the one thing I did say to him from the beginning was, I am not one who believes in breaking up and getting back together again. And I still don't.
Okay.
If we break up, there was a reason for it.
Right.
And if we don't want to speak about the reason and come back together again, it's not going to help. And if the reason doesn't get solved, it's not going to help.
Yeah.
Chances are it never gets solved. So if we break up, that's it. Because I've seen you in motion as well. So that's right. It. Just know that.
Right.
That was my basic.
Got you.
If we break up and we can't get over something, that means it's the end of this relationship. Let's move on.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get married. That was my sentences. I don't want to get married one day.
Ladies and gentlemen, 22 years later.
Yes. So you being the good Portuguese guy, you probably want to have a family. And I don't know if I'm that girl.
Okay.
So let's also make peace with that.
Yeah.
And we just enjoy this for what it is. And we carried on like that for about a year. And then we came to a crossing. And we had to decide which way we were going to go. And we weren't on a good footing. And then there was the faithless rave at the gas factory in Joburg.
Yes, hey.
And it saved our relationship. We spoke the whole night. We sorted out all our problems.
Wow.
We sat at that rave, and that's the one thing that still gives us goosebumps is if we hear insomnia. Because we saw him live, faithless on stage. And we realized we can save this relationship. We want to save this relationship. We spoke till 5 o'clock in the morning. We drank liters of water.
Of course.
We were very, very thirsty.
Very thirsty.
He told me everything he wanted to tell me. I told him everything I needed to say. And 3 years later, we were engaged and then we got married. We were together for very long before.
Before you got engaged and then you got married.
We bought a house together before we were engaged. Okay.
Tell me, were you a bridezilla? Why are you looking at me like that?
What does that mean?
You know when some women, they're about to get married and they go a little bit, so clemky mull. And they're a little bit like, so you can only wear neutral shades of blue.
Not at all. I couldn't. I was so happy that we got married because I never wanted to get married. Remember that part, yes? So when we got married, I got over everything.
You're going to make me cry. You need to stop.
So for me, it was the only problem was I was not the type of person who collected pictures of what her wedding should be like one day.
Yes.
So that was a bit freaky to me, was just doing it all and, you know, that part of it because I never thought I would. Yeah. So I didn't have a plan on what I would want. We were the last of the friends and I'm the oldest one of three children. I'm the last one to get married.
Oh, wow.
So people were also so happy. Like my family said to me, listen, we love Tony. If you ever get divorced, we're keeping him. You must go. You must go. We loved you. It was nice having you in the family, but bye. So at that stage, when we got married and it was time to throw the flowers, we said all the women on the dance floor because there were no unmarried women. It was like everybody was married.
Okay.
Everybody on the dance floor. It was one of those weddings. We did say no children, and for Portuguese that's a massive thing. It's coming back to bite us still, if you can believe that. It's because we wanted people to party and to have a good time and to reconnect because his family lives in Australia and they were all coming out for it, and they were family friends that at that stage didn't see each other for 3 years.
Wow.
And we wanted them to enjoy themselves and being a grown up at a place with love, which we got right, but with no children.
It's amazing because my wedding was nothing like that.
Really? The wedding doesn't make the marriage, but okay, tell me about yours.
I had known Paul for 3 months before I fell pregnant.
You know, you're living life according to script for Felicity,
no,
right?
Literally.
Yes.
Rules, adventure. I, because I'm a good Catholic, was like, we cannot have this baby outside of wedlock because she'll go to hell. So then got engaged. His mother, who I'd been, because my ex-husband is from the UK, his mom was still there. And so his mother and I had been speaking on the phone quite regularly. And then we sent a picture over of me and Paul. And her first words were, why didn't you tell me she was black? So that might have been a sign that this was not a good idea. His mom and dad obviously came over. His mom and dad were divorced very acrimoniously. And they had been divorced for a very long time, but still deeply detested each other. Well, mainly his mother. Deeply detested his father.
So you tapped into all of that.
I really got in there. I remember on my wedding day being a bit of a bridezilla because it's not because I had a book, but I had a vision. And because my vision wasn't executed the way that I wanted it to be, I was running around in my last trimester, literally doing the table centers and things because they had to look a particular way.
Yeah.
And then at about 9 o'clock that night, so first I took off my wedding shoes. I think about just after the ceremony because my feet were starting to swell because once again, the trimester.
Yes.
And about 9 o'clock that night when I still hadn't eaten anything and had lost my sense of humor, I decided to go to bed without telling anybody. So everybody else stayed, had a good old time. I went to bed, had a bit of a cry because I was hungry and hormonal and felt like no one gave a And then the next morning, I sat around the corner from the rest of the family and ate breakfast with myself.
Felicity. Yeah.
Look, am I a little bit of a drama queen? Yes. Was I hormonal, though?
That's the thing. You couldn't do anything about it. You didn't even understand what was going on with your body.
I could have probably, I could have been a little bit better. I was also being a bit dramatic. As you know, Khara, you know me. You know I can be completely full of nonsense.
So can I. But that's why you don't maybe do it when you're 7.5 months.
This is definitely my biggest point out to anybody is don't do it when you're pregnant. It's not fun. You're not going to enjoy it. And I think, like you said in the beginning, having a baby puts so much pressure on a relationship.
Yeah.
So I was very young. I was 23, 24. I don't know numbers, dates, numbers. I don't know things.
I get that, yeah.
It doesn't matter. I live in the moment, okay? But I was very young when I had Simone. And I don't know if you'd agree with me on this, but the one thing about having kids, especially your first kid, even if it's the only kid, your first kid, the amount of changes that you go through suddenly. So I found myself, and I keep on saying this to people, like before I had my first baby, I think it was a lot more, what's the word? Fluid, a lot more easy, a lot more like, maybe I do, maybe I don't. As soon as Simone flew out of my vagina, which she did, literally, I was in labor for 4 hours. It was the most painful thing I've ever experienced in my whole entire life. Nonstop for 4 hours.
Did you have epidural?
No.
Why?
No, because I was so far gone by the time we got to hospital, they basically couldn't give me anything. So it was 4 hours nonstop. Imagine the last hour that you're supposed to have, all just compressed into 4 hours, just continuously. Anywho, nothing about my birth stories.
No, you forget everything. Don't worry. No, you don't remember that.
Don't even joke. I had Simone, and then I said to Paul, I looked at him, and I said to him, I want another one. And he looked at me, and I was bleak word. I was like, because I was like, because you know the love floods your body. And
yeah. Oh, this is beautiful.
This is beautiful.
Look what I did.
But I remember suddenly, as soon as Simone was born, I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm not okay with that. And it was definite. And I don't know when the switch happened. But when you have met somebody who is not like that, and then suddenly this baby comes in, and then now you are like this, I can imagine how hard it was for my ex-husband at the end of the day. I can imagine how hard it was for him to have been with somebody who was very like, anything goes and life is all fluid and blah, blah, blah. And suddenly I was like, oh no, my child won't be eating Purity. I'll be making all her food from scratch at home. That's how this is going. And it's like, but this, why? That's very impractical. But no, that's what's happening. And I know, and I can take responsibility for the fact that I would get very upset with Paul. Paul is a confrontasie, ek wil nie praat nie. So ek trek terug. En hoe meer jy terugtrek, the more it riles me up.
Yeah.
Because I want to sort it out now.
Because you're filling that hole that is now there.
Yeah. I want to sort it out now.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait for you to supposedly calm down.
Yeah.
Because you, when you calm down, you actually just don't want to talk about it either. And so I would, and I would admit this, I would get quite shouty. I would raise my voice. The final push I needed to get divorced was Simone saying to me when she was about four and a half years old, Mommy, please stop shouting at Daddy. It breaks my heart. And I knew then that I cannot be this example to my girl children. Firstly, their dad didn't deserve it. He's an incredible father. He really is. He's an amazing human being. We just couldn't give each other the love we both needed. And I needed to make sure that I was not being the worst example possible to my girl children. So anyway,
I thought you said we were going to laugh.
No, there will be laughter at some point. There will be laughter, I promise. I think the reason why I'm telling you all of this terrible things is I hope that I've changed, but you've also been around now for me to talk to about a lot of my love life. And I suppose I want to ask from somebody who's in a relationship, like, what am I doing wrong? I'm not shouting at people anymore. So there's that. Yay.
Look at you.
Look at me, growth.
Yes.
What am I doing wrong?
You're not doing anything wrong.
Oh, thank you.
You're not, because if you're trying to change, you're going to pretend that you are someone that you are not. And that real you is going to come out somewhere in a relationship. So just like you want the person that you go on a date with to be his real self.
Yes, please.
You need to be your real self. That's it. Because what you see when you date and when you get married, that dating changes. And the only constant is you.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Everything changes. From the years back when you went dating to raising children, everything changes. The way you look at each other, the way you speak to each other, the way you date, the way you go out for suppers, the way you eat, the way you... It's normal, right? We all change every day. And just like that, a marriage changes. And the only constant is the fact that you and him are in it.
Got you.
And if you aren't real from the beginning, there's shit coming for you by the time he's carried you over the doorstep. Because then you go, ah, I've got him. Now we can go.
Got you.
It doesn't work like
got
that.
Got you.
So you're not doing anything wrong. You can't do anything wrong if you are who you are.
Yeah.
The only thing is keep on looking.
Really?
I know. Look, Felicity, if something happens to my husband now, it is me, a good book, a bottle of wine, skin a bit of faithless for the rest of my life alone in my bed, because I see what you are going through and I cannot imagine myself ever dating ever again. You can bring that man to my door and knock on it and say, just sit on the couch, we're bringing him, and I will not do it. I cannot see myself going to bed with another man.
No, but that I understand. But
getting to know another man. Opening myself up to another man.
Got you.
I cannot see myself ever doing it again.
Really,
I know it's
really.
Rich. I know. My mom, my dad has been dead for 20 odd years. My mom is in love again at the age of 73. There she goes. She moves provinces, packs up everything after also saying nothing ever again. So I know you shouldn't say never again because
you never know.
It's lonely, right? I can imagine. But it must be hectic dating.
It is a bit of, it's a combination between a contact sport, being hunted. Like there's a combination of the excitement.
Yes.
And the thrill, but also the annoyance and the boredom.
Yes.
And the why
and
am
not
I doing
showing
this?
Any of this on your face.
Exactly. And just being like, I'm just going to keep on pushing.
No.
What do you think the role, because I know we were talking about this on the balcony, like I know you and Tony and I know Aiden, and besides being a good wife and a good mom, you're such a good example to Aiden of a good relationship. Because, I mean, we've gone out and it's not necessarily his job, but Tony has bought the gazebo and the camp chairs and the things and the things and the things. And he's bought it for all of us, not just for you. He's made sure that all of us were, like, taken care of. How do you maintain that in a marriage? And also make it clear to Aiden that, yes, we're mom and dad, but like you say, we also had that in Tony.
Mm.
So outside of this, we are your parents. We are also each other's lovers and each other's husband and wives.
Yeah.
And you are our son. But you know what I mean?
It's, yeah. You know what's difficult? We were raised a lot differently than what we are raising our children with.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big disconnect with this, for me, with this generation, with the way we were raised and the way we have to raise our children.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times do you say, we didn't have cell phones. We couldn't phone like that. When I was little, there was no, you had to wash the car on a Sunday. No one's washing your car. Like the kids are just different these days, and it makes it very difficult to raise them.
Yeah.
So in our household, there's no problem with individuality. Oh, the three of us. Yo, look, let me tell you, when we fight in that house, it's
hard, like Donkey Kong.
Two Leos and an Aries.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
Oh, that must be spicy.
Yeah, and Aiden is a left-handed Aries.
Oh,
everybody has an opinion and it all needs to be heard. So that we understand. I couldn't teach Aiden about dating until he started doing it. So he grew up with respect and how to treat a woman and you know how. But until they actually start dating, you can't tell him, you see, you don't do that again. Or yes, that was cool. Or because that's the only way they learn.
Yes.
So now we're going through the whole, you know, okay, so this is how you did. And Tony's like, you know, see my son, this is not right. This is no. And I don't know, this is the only way we can teach them to. But now at the same time, he's a 20-year-old who believes he knows everything.
Mm.
So what can you now teach him?
Yes,
you
know, nothing. Absolutely
it's not
nothing.
Too late for that.
Yes.
So we fight a lot in the house. And it's like anything with children. You are hoping and praying that something sticks. You f***ing throw everything at this child. Here, may the Teflon help somewhere. Please, let this just work. Let this stick. Let this help. Let him have seen it. Let him have recognized this. Let him know this. Let him, you know, because for the rest of it, you can only do so much.
Yeah.
Also, this world we are living in, it's hard enough to sometimes save yourself from not drowning. And then to have to remember that you also have to save other. It becomes difficult. Life is difficult.
It really is.
And marriage is difficult in life. That is difficult.
Yeah.
Life is work. Marriage is work in life. That is work. It is a lot.
Yeah, you're not making me very excited to get married here. I'm just saying.
At the same time, what's lovely?
Okay, so for you, what is the best things about being married? And then what is like the worst things about being married?
The best thing is, this is going to sound so cuck.
No, just say it.
Is that I made this decision.
What do you mean?
That I said yes.
Okay.
In 2003. Now you're going to make me cry, and I don't know why. That's the best thing I could ever have done. And everything else that came out of that, Aiden was not an easy baby. We had huge tests to our marriage and our relationship when he was 6 weeks old. And we survived that. And we're surviving things today that we never thought when we got married would be thrown at us. You don't think of the bad that's going to come, and you shouldn't.
Yeah.
You think of the good, and you hold on to that. We hear our wedding song, and doesn't matter where we are and what we're doing, there's just this feeling that rushes over you, and everything else just goes pale in comparison because you hear the song, and you remember, and you're taken back to that day when you said yes, and that was a good decision, and it was a solid decision, and it was the right decision. So that's the best thing I ever did. Yo. But if he just would pick up his underpants and his socks. You know, Felicity.
Yes, Gerda.
3 times a week.
Yes.
I pick it up. Okay. Right next to the laundry basket. Oh. But it's not in the laundry basket.
Okay.
So then, about a few months ago, we had a fight. Because Tony doesn't want to wash the dishes if there is already a dirty dishes in the basin. Because he doesn't want to take out the dirty dishes and then clean the basin and then start washing the dishes. Okay. And I now put the dirty dishes in the basin. The dirty dishes are the porridge bowls. If I don't put it in the basin with water in it, you try and get the oats off.
Oh, because they've gone all hard in the bowl.
Come.
Yes.
Anyway. So, I said to him, this is the least you can do. So, then, you know I love ironing.
I do know you love ironing.
So, I iron a lot. It's therapeutic to me. So, then I decided, okay, and in that case. So, then I ironed the shirts inside out because that's how I got it in the laundry basket.
Oh.
I washed it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I ironed it like that. And I hanged it up like
inside
that.
Out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because I don't like it when they are inside out in the laundry basket.
Okay.
But I get it right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to clean the basin from the dirty dishes. So, yes. Felicity, to answer your question.
Quick question. Has he started doing the dishes?
Yes.
Has he? So it worked.
He's doing the dishes. I am ironing everything. We're back to normal. We are not the type who would sort of thing out the conventional way. Like, I won't go to him and say, listen, please just, I work myself up and I work myself up and then I explode one day.
Mm.
He's the same. Aiden's the same.
Okay.
So every like now and then there's a mini explosion.
Oh, there's a little eruption. Okay.
And then everything comes out, which is exactly what you shouldn't be doing,
yeah.
Right? You should talk about this stuff so that it doesn't
build
compress
up
in the back of your brain.
Yes.
And then you burst a vein.
Yeah.
One day, but we do this. I think what I'm trying to tell you is there's no rule book. There's no something. Obviously, there are some things that you have to do.
Yes.
That are the groundworks and the ground rules. But at the same time, I didn't get to know Tony as someone who would come to me from the beginning and say, I didn't like it when you did this.
Gotcha. So it's not like he's changed.
So, no.
He's still the same. Like you said, the one constant is that you and him are the same.
It is what it is. Got that you. Is what I married. And I was with him for long enough to know.
To know.
But I did. Liewe Jesus, where am I? I did think that he would learn to put stuff in the laundry basket.
But 22 years later, no such luck.
Plus the 3 years before that when we bought the house together. A quarter of a century.
I need to know, does Aiden put his things in the laundry
no.
basket? Okay.
No.
Do you think he gets it from his dad?
No, but he must have told him I'm going to throw it out the window.
Oh. I love the way that you've got different options and solutions.
Look, I can still save him.
For the different
go in with the ultimate ultimatum. And I hope it scares the shit out of him. And I hope it works. And then you go, do you really think your girlfriend wants to see this?
Oh, I love it.
Really?
Oh, I love it.
You save yourself now.
Oh, I love
Don't
it.
Don't do this to her. Clean up this room. She's going to walk in here. Sis, man. Tony makes a bed every morning, which he never used to do. And he does that because he's learned it clears his head and he likes doing it.
Yes.
So all of a sudden he does that. I love that because I was a boarding school girl my whole school career. So I always make a bed every morning.
Mm.
So he's learned to all of a sudden do that. And I love it. And that's great. And yeah, so there's other things that changed. We went to Freiburg recently for a reunion at my high school. We sort of started a fight in the car. It was just the two of us. We were so, you know how sometimes you look forward to something so much that the anticipation is so bad and so much that when you get in the car, you want to fight?
Yeah, well, no, because that I don't have anyone to fight thing. With. But anyway,
so we get in the car, Freiburg's 4 hours.
Oh, good. Mm. That's enough time to fight.
No, we didn't. We listened to crime podcasts.
Oh, I love a crime podcast.
Instead of having the fight. So when we got to the friends in Freiburg who we haven't seen in 2 years, we fought in front of them. Blow out, and then it was over.
Okay, so... We're still fighting.
No, but then it was gone.
But it was gone and we're still choosing each other.
And then it was fine. Then we were lovey-dovey the whole weekend and we sorted it out and we had lots of fun. And on the way back, it was lekker and it was nice. But there was this itch and the scratch that just needed to quickly be resolved. So we could have done it earlier and we should have done it in the car.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yes.
You didn't. But no. Then it was done and then it was fine.
Yeah.
So my final question is, do you still find your husband hot?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So he grew the beard. Aiden and I were a bit, do we like it? Don't we like it? And his hair grows fast. The Portuguese hair grow fast. And he's got the grey beard now.
Yes.
So about 3 months ago, he shaved it and we couldn't look at him. Aiden and I were like, no! How long before it will grow back? Can't look at you. No. He looked like a completely different person.
Yeah, no, but beards are men makeup. That's the thing.
I never realized that.
Yeah. Literally, it will change a way that a man is looked at, a beard or beardless. Yes, I agree with you. Yeah.
It is so cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No. Yes, definitely. I always said I would marry a man with a crooked nose.
Okay.
I always told my mom, I'm going to marry a man with a crooked nose. And I've said to him, you can be glad you've got a crooked nose. You can be very.
What is the crooked
nose?
Got
a beautiful nose. It's got like a little Mediterranean-y, there's like a little, like, crookedness-y in his nose.
But what?
Look,
what
he also snores a lot with that nose, but it is a beautiful nose.
What is your thing about a crooked nose, though?
I don't know. It's just character.
Ah, okay.
I think it's just character.
Okay.
I just love it. There's like character in a man's nose. It tells me something about him. Like Martin Bester has got a very beautiful characteristic nose.
He does have a great nose.
I can stare at his nose. Sometimes I think he thinks.
Because there's you about to do news and you're like.
Yes. And I'm looking at Martin's nose. He's got a beautiful nose. So it tells me just something about the man. And it's the same with Tony. And I mean, the nose stays. The nose is not going anywhere. So, yeah.
Maybe I should be looking for a man with a crooked nose.
Maybe you should. I'm telling you, noses are underrated.
Okay, so what do you think I should be looking for? If you had to choose my dream, my ideal man, what is he? Who is he? What does he look like?
He's tall.
He's tall, okay.
He's tall. Mm-hmm. He has a long beard. Or he's got something in his face that tells a lot about him.
Okay. So character, once again.
Yes, no small eyes.
Okay.
I don't really care about hair on the head. I don't think you... But he's tall and he makes you feel safe. So I think I see a man that will hold your hand.
Yes.
And that will drag you along and that will say, come, let's go. We're moving into this direction. And that you will say, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I was wondering which direction to go in. So like a physically tall presence with a beard or a nose or high cheekbones or something in the face that
like
is
a Viking, basically.
That when you look at the picture, you say, that's mine. That one. Yes, actually, yes.
A Viking.
A Viking look. That's it.
You know me
yes,
very well.
A Viking.
Is he loud like me, or do you think he's a bit quieter?
Take it from experience. Mm. There are times when Tony says to me, okay, that's enough now.
Oh.
Just, okay, we're there.
Okay.
And there are times where he says, come, let's go home. We're going home. And then there are times that I fight him, and then there are times that I know I shouldn't.
Okay.
So I would not want him to be like you.
Got you.
At all.
Got you.
I would want him to be the one to say, thank you, Felicity. We've got this. Let's go.
Cool. I often think when I'm in a relationship, I will be the balloon and you can be the string.
Mm.
So you can let me fly, but you won't let me fly away.
Mm.
But you'll let me fly. You'll be like,
yes.
Look how far she's gone. Isn't it incredible? But you will make sure that I don't fly too close to the sun and pop.
Such a nice analogy.
Yeah.
Look at the wisdom you've gotten since you've been dating. Look at you.
You know, Gerda, I get all this wisdom. I've got no one to try it out on, though. But yes, I've got all this wisdom. So there's that. I just need to find the person to try it on. We'll talk about the horny tea in another episode.
I cannot believe he did that. I cannot believe that, Antonius.
Just so you people know, apparently there's a horny tea.
It doesn't work, man. It doesn't work. The horny tea doesn't work.
You don't know that. Did you have enough horny tea?
I don't know, because also Tony Moss can't hide anything from me.
You see?
I read that man like a book. So when he said to me, do you feel something? And he keeps on making me tea. Do you want more tea? Now, we do make each other a lot of tea and coffee every day, every morning, every night. If I make myself something, I'll ask him, do you want tea? Do you want coffee?
Yes.
So he goes, I will make you tea. Okay, cool. And yeah, comes the black tea, because I drink a lot of black tea. And he goes, do you? I'm like, what was in the tea? So now I realize someone gave it to me at work, and apparently it makes you horny. And so I'm like, well, I did feel, but now I don't know if it's my imagination.
Yes.
You know, it's like giving someone the placebo and then say it will work for
something. Is your head gone? Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now I don't know, but I don't know about the horny tea.
I think you should bring horny tea for all of us. And then we'll all secretly drink it in the morning. I mean, I'll know what it is and you'll know what it is. And then we'll just like watch Martin and Kola and the rest of the team and see if it like...
You can qualify for that horny tea if you've been married for 20 years.
What about single people?
No.
What? Don't we get horny?
You can go get horny on your own time. If that tea works, you must savor it.
So what you're saying is for people in committed long-term relationships, there is a tea out there.
We've got it for you, apparently.
Khada, what is your biggest red flags that you must have got for before you get married? What's the thing that you actually should be like, oh, absolutely, yes?
I think introduce him to your friends and your family.
Yeah.
And let them be honest.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need people to look out for you.
Yeah, from the outside.
Yes.
Yes.
And be willing to listen. Don't let love blind you in a way that you don't listen and you don't hear.
Mm.
If you ask for someone's opinion and if you introduce him to your people, listen to what your people say.
Yeah.
And if they say, listen, just hang on a little bit. I'm not saying don't marry him. I'm just saying.
Just wait.
Just there's no hurry.
Yeah.
There's never a hurry. Let things savor. Let it fill its space. Give it time. Let it fill its space. Go on with your life together. There's no reason why you can't have a life together if you're still dating. You can have the life
even
together.
If you're pregnant.
Just not till 7 months. You know, there's also a time and a place for everything.
No, I actually realized after Simone, I realized that there was that whole idea of being, what's it called, like an unwed mother or whatever it is, is nonsense that was filled in my head, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Don't even let a baby be the reason that you say yes, because it's the same as people who say we stay together because of the kids. Meanwhile, they're terribly unhappy.
Mm.
Don't use your kids as a scapegoat for you. Because like you said, you are still you. You're still these individual people. Yeah. You can't be using your kids as scapegoats to get married or to stay married or to whatever it is. Anyway, yeah. Okay. So introduce them to your friends, and is that to cover both green flags and red flags?
Yeah, I just think get a general opinion. Sometimes you will tell them, look, he was just shy, or he didn't speak, or you know, what. But go through the motions until they can get a good idea of the person that you're sharing your life with and that you want to carry on with. And he has to keep to his word. He has to stick to it. If he says he's going to pick you up at a certain time, he has to. If he says we're going to meet at a certain time, if he says he will do something reliable, a man that is reliable, a person that is there when he says he will be, because you would be reliable.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You will be there if you say you will. So get some of that back.
Got you.
Make sure you give and you take with that. And one last thing.
Yes.
After you get married, before you get married, talk finances.
Oh, yes. Before you get married.
Yes. Talk bank accounts. Talk salaries, talk budgets, talk projections, talk plans for holidays. Do it.
Oh, that's a goodie. What if you discover that someone's got a huge gambling problem?
Talk how you can phone Uber and get out. Look. It depends on, I suppose, how you discover it and where he is with the gambling problem and how far he is down the road and whether he's recovered or I don't know. But just make sure you know those things.
I love that.
And
I
then
love that.
You decide whether that is a battle
something
that
you're willing
you
to
want to take on.
Yes. Yeah. Because I think I've also realized through this whole conversation, the one thing I've realized from you is, and it's not selfish, but you have to retain your sense of self. And what your boundaries are and what your values are, and not compromise on those, because at the end of the day, that is the only person who is in that relationship is you and this other person. And you need to be sure of all of those matters. Khada, I want to tell you that I think that you and Tony are an incredible example of a relationship. And since I've known you, and I think for somebody who is single, it is, you know, people always say like, be careful who you surround yourself with because that is who will influence your life. And so to have the influence of you and your husband and your son, such a good influence, not only in my life, but in my children's life as well, it's probably one of the best and happy decisions I've made. So thank you for being... No, I'm serious. You're fantastic humans and I'm blessed and I'm lucky and so are my kids to have you in our lives. So I cross fingers that one day I will find somebody who I can also slightly manipulate with socks and t-shirts, but also know that I've got their back and they've got mine.
And just so that you know, when you date that person and you're serious about it, you better bring him to our house.
No, but you know I will.
And the three D'Souzas will sit there.
Oh, crikey.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you know I will.
You will get lists.
Oh, great. Okay, but you know I will. Maybe I'll just drop him off and I'll leave. I'll just be like...
That's also good.
Yeah.
That's probably
do that. Best.
Yeah. See you there.
I love you, good.
Bye.
Bye. Do you know, the one thing about Khada you can always count on is honesty, kindness, and just a whole lot of wisdom. So practical and so wise, but also such so generous with not her opinions, but her experience of marriage and married life. I'm very lucky. I get to spend every day with her Monday to Friday. Mm-hmm. If you love this episode, then you've got to go back to episode 1 and listen from the beginning. But also, if you love this episode, like, subscribe, review, and share. Why? Because we all deserve a little bit of love in our lives. Also because I asked you nicely. Please?